We've been going through James, verse by verse, and we come to now verses 15 through 17 of chapter 4. And last week we talked about planning. The title of the message was, Whose Plan Is It? And is it God's plan or is it our plan? And that's, you know, that's something that we ought to consider. Plans are in anticipation of what we would like to do. And in making them, we presume that we will have the time to accomplish them. And so that was the 2 points last week. It was about planning and presuming. Okay. This week, James is concluding the thought. But now he's focusing rather on the planning part, but on the doing part, which is a work of our will. And we do what we will to do. And our acts are determined by our will. And the question now becomes, instead of whose plan, it becomes whose will. Whose will is being done here? Has it been God's will, or is it our will? Or is it the will of the world, or someone in our life, you know, that's influencing us? Or is it just our own flesh? I mean, whose will is it? And whose will am I submitting to? And that's really the question. The verses, and I'll read the two from last week as well, because it's really a complete thought. And he says, come now, verse 13 of chapter 4, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will travel to such and such a city and spend a year there and do business and make profit. You don't even know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are like smoke that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So it is a sin for the person who knows to do what is good and does not do it. Okay, so we've got four problems here in this passage, four problems that we have, okay, as people, because we all have a flesh, we all have a sin nature, we all have plans, and some of the plans are plans we just want to do because we just like to do those things, and so we all make decisions regarding what's going on in our lives, and of course. The first problem is planning without regard for God. That's a problem that we have, that we have to deal with. And I talked about that last time. And do we make plans on our own? Second problem that we have is presuming without regard for God. To presume that things are going to be such a way. And I talked last week about life is a complex thing. Life is uncertain. And our lives are really a vapor that just comes for a little while and goes. We don't know what. But within that vapor, I talked about how it's a transient vapor. It's a transforming vapor. It's a triumphant vapor. If we have the Holy Spirit in our life and we're abiding by that, and submitting to Him and doing the things He would have us do with our plans, those things would be presuming without or with regard for God. Okay? When you allow the Holy Spirit to help you make your plans, that is the way to go. And that's where we left it off last week. But that's two of the problems, is we plan without regard for God, and we presume things without thinking, hey, God may have something else in mind. Okay? So now we move into the next, and I'm skipping verse 15 for the moment. We'll get to it at the end. And in verse 16, he comes to the next two problems that we have, and it's pride without regard for God. Pride without regard for God. He moves right into pride, James does, which is what? Focusing on yourself. What I think is best. And in a sense, it's arrogant, presumptuous words that we, when we say things. It is knowledge, excuse me, when we plan, it is presuming that it will work without regard for God's will. When you leave God's will out of it, that's prideful. It's saying, you know what, I've got this figured out. And it's done out of a prideful spirit, which, where does pride come from? The world. Look at this. Do not love the world or the things that belong to the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. You ought to consider that statement. It's a hard statement. If you love the world, the Bible tells us, and this is Jesus speaking, love for the Father is not in you. For everything that belongs to the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's lifestyle is not from the Father, but from the world. That's where I got the statement that it comes from the world, from that verse. And the world, with its lust, is passing away. You know, this world's temporary. And all the stuff we are working so hard to build is going to burn. One day, it's going to be gone. But the one who does God's will, this is a great promise. The one who does God's will remains forever.
Amen.
You know, you realize the works of righteousness that you do in submission to God working in your life, those are forever things. You know, it's just like the dear daughter of Rocky who, in her grief, led someone to the Lord right there in the house while her father is laying wherever, waiting to be taken away. But that work, that's forever, folks. When someone accepts Christ as their Savior, you understand that's forever. That's a forever fruit. And that's, you know, part of what we're supposed to be about. And the rest, though, is temporary. The things you do on your own, it's nice for a season. And it's not that we aren't to be... Sometimes things are just a blessing, but recognize they are temporary blessings. You know, it's not the end. It's not where it's always going to be. But, you know, God is wonderful and gracious and, you know, allows us to have a home or allows us to have a vacation or something. But recognize that it's nothing you deserve. It's a blessing and it's temporary. And it's not the real fruit. And so instead, we ought to be focusing on God.
Amen.
And this is a famous verse out of Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says. The wise man must not boast in his wisdom. You know, there's a lot of people that think they know a lot of things. God says, don't think you know so much. And the strong man must not boast in his strength. And you know, it may be talking about physical strength, but sometimes people think they're pretty strong emotionally, or they're pretty strong spiritually, or they're pretty strong, you know, in some other way. But don't boast in that. And the wealthy man must not boast in his wealth. And a lot of people, they do. And you may say, well, I'm not wealthy. Well, you go to the rest of the world, you're pretty wealthy. You just don't have a very good reference point. If you haven't been somewhere, you don't have a very good reference point. We are wealthy. I mean, come on. The poorest of our poor have cell phones and... I mean... Okay? So... But... The one who boasts, you know, if you're going to boast, boast in this, that you understand and know me, talking about God. You know, not just know him. You know, a lot of Christians, you know, we like to get on this thing and we go, man, I know the Lord. You know, and that's good. You should. I mean, I hope you do. But he says you understand him. Now, in our little finite pea brains that we have, none of us are really going to grasp God. But he has revealed a lot of himself to us that we can understand. And it's not just good enough to know him, understand him. He has given us this huge word which reveals what he thinks on all sorts of topics. And we need to understand that. And he says, understand and know me. And then what do we need to understand about him? These are the main... I mean, if you know, there's a lot of things to understand about God. But isn't it cool that he reveals what he would really like us to understand about him specifically? That what? That he is Yahweh. That he is Lord. That he is above all. And he's also about faithful love. If we could only be a billionth of as faithful to him as he is to us. I don't know. I don't know how to express it. He is faithful when we are not. He's still faithful to us, even when we are not. And he shows it. He doesn't just say, hey, I'm faithful to you. He shows it. He blesses you even when you don't deserve to be blessed. He loves you. And he shows it. And justice. He shows justice. He does what's right. Now, you know, we got a legal system and all this stuff, and we know it's corrupt in places, and it's better in some places than in others, but it's still man's justice, which is imperfect at best. But his justice is pure. It's right. And there's no shadow there. It's the best. And in our system, you may not be treated fairly, but you know, one day you will stand before Almighty God and you will be treated exactly. There will be no shade of anything. It will be total light on you and me. And we will stand before God, and he will tell us whatever it is he's going to say, and there'll be no argument, because we'll know it's true. And his judgment is just in whatever it may be. Not just then, but even now, as the Christian, as we go before him and the things he takes us through. We may say that's not fair. Well, sometimes in our eyes it's not, but in his eyes it's right and it's just. And righteousness on the earth. He is Yahweh. He shows faithful love. He shows justice and righteousness on the earth. And he delights in these things. You understand, when you do something right, when you obey God, he delights in that. He delights in that. You want to delight God? Obey him. Just seek out his will. And that's really what this message is about. Whose will, right? Seek out his will and submit to it, and God will be delighted in you. Most Christians would say, oh, I'd love for God to be delighted in me. Well, do what he asks. Do what he asks. And he says, this is the Lord's declaration. And so we have this pride without regard of God. And then when you get a picture of God, you know, in my prayer time, I'll get before him and I'm like, wow, I really realize what a bum I am. I mean, I know who I am. I know the thoughts I have and the fleshly desires that rise and those kind of things. And you stand before holy God, in whom there is no darkness at all. He is pure light. And you stand before him in prayer and you recognize, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. And I live in a nation of people with unclean lips. Even the best of us fall short of the glory of God. Wow. Focus on God. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off others in that regard. And focus on him. But then, another problem we have is we procrastinate without regard for God. He says, it is a sin for a person who knows to do what is good and doesn't do it. That's what procrastination is. You know you need to do something and you don't do it. I remember in high school, in American literature, Mrs. Gandhi, who everybody took, all the guys took her class because she was pretty. Can I say? That was the only reason I took that class. Was. And she was one of the hardest teachers, though. And she gave us a term paper to do at the beginning of the year. First week we were in the class. gave the said, you're going to write this term paper, you got to have a thesis, you got blah, 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 all this junk. Okay, I chose, yeah, junk, that's it, it was junk. I hated English. But I did mine on Stephen Crane, the author, Red Badge of Courage, some of you may remember that. You know why I chose him? Because he died when he was like 29, and he only wrote like four things or something like that. So there was very little to write on, so I could have a shorter paper. I mean, look it up. He only wrote like two stories and three poems or something. I mean, it just turned out one of those was like revered or something, you know, Red Badge of Courage, you know. But that's why I picked him. So that I wouldn't have to write so much. And I had all year. It was due after Easter break, which was in April. And I don't know what the dates were, but like the beginning of Easter vacation was like the 10th, and then we were back in school on the 17th or something like that, whatever it was that year. I waited to the 16th and wrote the whole paper in one day. And it was funny because we were supposed to use note cards. We were supposed to write thoughts on note cards and then create that into a some kind of an outline and then create that into a rough draft and then create that into the final draft. Well, that's too much work. So I wrote the final draft, and then I created an outline, and then I created a rough draft, then I created an outline, then I created the note cards. And turned it in. But you know what? It was procrastination. I mean, everybody else in my class was like, hey, Lemons, you know, you got started? I got till April, man. You know? And there was people turning them in, and in fact, she used that word, because she says, that first week of school, she says, it's really due on the 10th, but for those of you who procrastinate, I will accept it on the 17th. So that just became my date, you know? Knowing you ought to do something what is right, and you just put it off, and you put it off, and you put it off, and you put it off. And so I spent that whole Sunday from like 6 in the morning till I don't know when it was I got done, but I wrote that paper. And I got a decent grade, by the way. So just so you know, you're thinking, oh, you probably got an F. No, I did not. I did not. I patted myself for on the back for kind of... I was proud of myself. I was back then. I really was proud of myself. In fact, I bragged about it. I did it all in one day, man. You guys worked all 6 months on this thing. I'm done, man, in one day. And I got a better grade than you. There was all kinds of pride there. I was a proud person, actually. Very truly spoken, Dick. But it was wrong to be proud. But you know, we're responsible. This verse is a reminder that we're responsible for what we do. It's knowledge with the absence of works. Remember, James is all about, you know, show me your works, okay? I'll show you my works because of my faith. Faith without works is dead. Okay? Knowledge without works is wrong. It's putting it off. It's procrastination. To know God's will and not obey it is sin. Think about it. What's sin? Disobedience to God, right? Now, we tend to think of it like, don't steal. And so therefore, okay, if I steal, it's sin because I'm commanded not to. But what if he says do something and then you don't do it? Is that not just as bad? It is. It's disobedience. Either way, it's disobedience. Make no mistake, it will be dealt with. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the command delivered. It's a holy... You realize when God tells you to witness to somebody, that's a holy command? And you know to do it, And look, I've done this. I'm not taking this lightly. I've done this. I know I'm supposed to talk to somebody and I was scared or whatever and I chose not to do it. Act of the will. Disobeyed God. That was sin. Just say for what it is. You know, part of our problem in this country is nobody owns up to anything. We just need to own up and just say, you know what? I blew it. It was sin. It was wrong. Father, forgive me. And next time you tell me to talk to somebody, I'll do it. And then you better do it. Because now, if you don't do it again, now you lied. And you also disobeyed. Because sin kind of piles up on us, don't it? But we have to know it. The slave who knew his master's will and didn't prepare himself or do it will be severely beaten. Now, sometimes we don't actually get the actual beating physically, but we get beat up. You ever have the Holy Spirit kind of beat you up for disobedience? I have. I remember when they asked me to start speaking at the old age home, the rest home in New Mexico. I told them no. I said, no, I don't really want to do that. And then on the way home, Holy Spirit saying, I thought you told me that if I gave you an opportunity, you'd do it. Because I had done that. I had said that in the past to God. I had promised him, if you open a door, I will go through. And he says, is this not an open door? Yeah. So when I got home, I called the guy up and said, when do you want me there? Because Holy Spirit basically just beat me up all the way home. But there is one solution. And that's verse 15. That's verse 15. So we got four problems. We plan without regard for God. We presume without regard for God. We have pride without thinking about God. We procrastinate, not thinking about what God would have. But we have one solution, verse 15. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Permission with regard for God. James is asking us to live in recognition that man, not God, is in control. Man, not God, is in control. And I just got some few things up from Paul, you know, things that Paul wrote. And Paul said goodbye and stated, I'll come back to you. Now there's the plan. I'll come back to you if God wills. You know, Kevin, you're going back to Nigeria at some point. I assume that's the plan. If God wills. Right? If God wills. Now make our plan. Hopefully it's a godly plan. A plan that's been prayed through. You know, a plan that you've sought His face and He's laid it on your heart. And then if God wills, it happens. You're open, in other words. You're open to a change of plans. You're open to a change of course. Because it's if God wills. Paul in another place. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills. I don't want to see you now, just in passing. Okay? This was when he was talking to the Corinthians and he was hoping to come back. He says, I don't want to just see you just for a moment, for I hope to spend time with you if the Lord allows. So Paul made plans, and he always asked for God's blessing on that and was open for God's will in his life. Let me ask you a question. Do you ask before you act? You know, let's just make it real. Let's just make it personal. You know, when we plan something or whatever, do we ask God, is this what He wants me to do? You know, when God laid the thing on my heart to go to Kenya, when I heard that opportunity, He didn't really lay it on my heart. I heard the opportunity and it was kind of a prick in my spirit kind of thing. And so I had to go before God and I'm like, okay, God, is this just me? Is this just, what is this? Is this you? Do you really want me to go there? I mean, I never really had a heart for that place ever before. Is this just me, just kind of curious? Or is this really you? And I let him work on me for a while before I even responded to Randy, who's leading the whatever it is that's going there. however many. I don't know. There's a team of people. I don't know. I don't know much about that part, but I had to ask. We have to ask. You know, most Christians will say, how do you know God's will? I've had that asked to me so many times. I'm going to help you out. Now, look, there's no... Listen, I have my one cop-out thing, and I'll just give it to you right up front. Okay, it's my cop-out verse. It's not even a verse. It's just my cop-out statement. And you've heard it before, most of you, but some of you may not have. And it's basically this. There's no substitute for a relationship with God. Okay? You can... You know, get good advice and you can pray and everything. But the bottom line is, the safest way to know God's will is to have a very good relationship with God, a very close relationship with God. And there's no substitute for that. Because you can go to 50 people that are just great Christians. They really seek God and they're wise and they're experienced. And you can get all their input. And the Bible indeed tells us that there is safety in a multitude of counselors, but in the end, after you take in all the information, you got to go to God and go, okay, now what do you want? I've got all this information. I think I have a direction, but Lord God, what do you want me to do? And if you don't have a relationship with God, you're not going to hear His voice. But I do have some things that will help you. So I've got three truths concerning finding God's will to help you. Three truths concerning finding God's will. Number one, search. Look for God's will in His Word. Look for God's will in His Word. Now, a lot of people will say, well, the first thing you should always do is pray. No, not in this case, because let me tell you why. Why not start with prayer? Because you don't need to pray about what God has already spoken on. God has spoken many things concerning His will right here.
Amen.
It is incumbent upon you to know His will, what has already been revealed. You know, you could say, I'm very hungry, my family's hungry, I'm going to shoplift some milk. And I'm going to pray about that. You know what? You don't have to pray about that. You already know it's wrong. Now, you may have a very good reason, a very compelling reason, but it's still wrong. It's being a thief. It's wrong. And God's already spoke it. Thou shalt not steal. It's not yours. It's not your milk. It's not yours to take. You don't take it. You know, and that's kind of a simplistic, kind of a stupid illustration, really, in a way. But, you know, God has already spoke many things in His Word. And people will say, I want to know God's will. Well, God says in His Word, don't forsake the assembling together. You know, you should go to church, right? I mean, that's in His will. A lot of people say, I'm just been praying whether I should go to church or not. You know what? You don't have to pray about that. You don't have to pray. It's already in there. Say, well, I'm praying to God about whether I should read my Bible. Well, really? In Timothy it says, study to show yourself approved? That you can rightly divide the word of truth?
Right.
You don't have to pray about that. Dear Jesus, please show me. Should I read Your Word? I know that's simplistic, but a lot of things are already in there. Well, let's make it a little deeper. I don't really want to forgive this person. I got to pray to God to ask, you know, whether I should let this person off the hook. His Word's already revealed that to us. I don't care what that person has done to you. What have you done to Jesus? And He forgave you, right? And so therefore we are to forgive one another. And that's in the Word. You don't have to pray about it. That's why we don't start with prayer on this. If there's some question about God's will, what does His Word have to say? The answer's already there. And you don't even have to pray. It's just there. Now you may pray, God, show me in Your Word. That's a good prayer. But it's already there. You don't need to pray about what God has already spoken on. Secondly, supplicate. Fancy word for pray. I had to have an S word. But listen. Listen for God's will in your prayer time. Do you let God have a chance? Do you let Him? Do you just get quiet and just kind of let God move on you in some way? Do you give Him time to move in your life? You know, sometimes we ask and we wait for Him to say something. We may very well do that. But sometimes we got to give Him time to do something to show us His will. Because sometimes He shows us His will, not just the Holy Spirit giving us an unction or something. Sometimes He uses our circumstances to show us His will. And you got to give Him time to do that. Because maybe He's wanting you to be a little patient concerning that issue. Are you giving God room, I guess is what I'm saying, to operate in your life? If, you know, we want it now. If I'm going to say the prayer, well, God, give me an answer now. Well, who's demanding what of who here? Many of you don't come on Thursday night. And there's a statement in the prayer guide by Charles Stanley, and I put it right here. To have God speak to the heart is a majestic experience. An experience people may miss if they monopolize the conversation and never pause to hear God's responses. Is your prayer life a one-way street? You know, God wants relationship. And a relationship is not, if it's just you talking to Him, that's not a relationship. A relationship is back and forth. You know, when husbands and wives have a relationship, if it's going to be a good relationship, I guess it could be called a relationship, it's just a bad relationship, okay? If there's only communication one direction, it's no good. A real relationship is, you know what, I got something to say, now I'm going to listen to what you have to say, and then I'm going to respond to that, and then you're going to respond to this. And that's relationship, learning what one another thinks. Now, God already knows what you think, but you don't always know what He does. That's why I say there's no substitute for a relationship with God. So we supplicate. Third, so you want to look, you want to listen, and you got to labor. You need to submit. Labor to do God's will when you find it. Sins of omission. I heard somebody say it out there a little while ago when I was talking. You may not be guilty of doing what God has forbidden, but you may be guilty of neglecting what He has commanded. That's a lot of the problem that we have. We're really good about the do nots. We're not so good about the do's. Do this, do that. To find His will, you must get into the search with the attitude that you will obey it once you find it. You know, it's not enough to say, oh, show me your will. And then when you find out what it is, it's like, well, I ain't going to do that. No. Do you go into it like, okay, God, when you show me, I'm going to do it? There's an attitude there that we need to have. Because, you see, God does not waste opportunities on the disobedient. You know, If you're not willing to share the gospel with somebody, God's not going to bring somebody that needs to hear the gospel across your path. You ever wonder why some people always have a testimony? Wow, I led this person to the Lord and I led that person. That's because, you know what? God knows they're willing to do it. And so He brings people their way. But if you're not willing, if He brought them your way, you're not going to talk. Why would He do that? Jesus said, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I gave you one reference, there's a bunch. He said it a lot. And that word hear, it's not like, okay, I heard the fan in the background or, you know, that kind of thing. It's to listen with the intent that you're going to obey. The inclination, I guess, I don't know. It has the inference that you're kind of sitting at the edge of your seat wanting to hear the instruction, because as soon as you get those instructions, you're going to do it. That's how God wants us to listen to Him. Jesus just told, when you see this statement, He just told something that was pretty profound, pretty challenging to us. And then he would end it by saying, hey, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, the one that really wants to be in a relationship with me, the one that really wants to be obedient to me, the one that really wants to pick up their cross and follow me, they're going to do it. They're going to listen with, you know what? Okay, I got my orders. Here I go. Jesus modeled His submission to the Father's will in Gethsemane when He prayed, Father, if You are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. He modeled it for us. In fact, Jesus found it necessary to seek the Father's will, not just then. He found it necessary to seek the Father's will every step of His earthly ministry. Look at this verse, John 6:38. This is at the beginning of His ministry. For I have not come down from heaven, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. But the will of Him who set me. Are you here to do the will of Him who sent you? That's something we all need to ask. Are we doing the will of Him who sent me? You realize you're sent? When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you began a mission. And He's got a plan. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And we are sent, and we're supposed to do His will. We are called, what, bond servants to Jesus Christ? We're slaves. We were once slaves to sin, but now we're slaves to righteousness. Slave does what he's told, theoretically. How can we do any less? Let's be like Jesus. Let's seek the Father's will. And obey, so that one day we may hear God say, well done. You know, what's interesting? It's not what He said there, it's what He didn't say that strikes me. Because we all know the passage, or probably most of us know the passage about, well done, good and faithful servant, come and enter to the rest, my Father's rest. You know, all that, right? But what did He not say? He didn't say, well prayed. He didn't say, well listened to. He didn't say, well searched out. He said, well done. It means we did something. We didn't just pray about it. We didn't just learn about it. We didn't just gain knowledge. But then when we found out what we were supposed to do, we did it. The end of the Beatitudes. Very end of chapter 7 of Matthew. And I didn't put in your notes. This is just something that came into my mind this morning, after I'd already prepared everything. But it's the famous parable, if you will, of Christ about the house on the rock and the house on the sand, right? But how He starts it, He says this in verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, and acts on them will be like the sensible man who built his house on the rock. But further down he says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them is like the foolish man. See, it's about action, folks. It's not about knowledge. Hey, do we need knowledge? Yes. But knowledge without action is futile. It doesn't accomplish anything. You know, I can know all about, which I do, or at least I did until they changed all the technology, repairing refrigerators, okay? I know all about it. And I could walk into your house, and if your refrigerator's not working, I could walk in there and go, wow, I know exactly what's wrong with it. And then if I left, would you be satisfied with the fact that I know what the problem was? No, you would want me to act, wouldn't you? You would want me to like, okay, since you know what the problem is, would you please go out to your truck and get the part and put it on there? Right? Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. It's interesting. If we act on God's words, he says we are sensible. If we fail to, he says we are foolish. There may be some here that you would say, I've been seeking God's will in my life or for my life. But let me ask you this. Have you got the first part of his will right? Because you see, without that, the rest of it doesn't matter. And it's his first will is this. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to a knowledge of God, of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's his will that you would place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because if you don't, you are condemned already to hell. There is a heaven. There is a hell. Hell was created for Satan and the demons. It was not created for people. But if we do not place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he has no other place to put us. We get what we deserve. But the good news is, that's the gospel, good news. Hey, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's how God proved his love for us. You understand that God loves you? He loved you so much that even though you were reprehensible to him, he said, you know what? I still love you so much. I'm going to sacrifice my son for you. And all you have to do is believe in what he did on the cross. And I will forgive you. And you may come and reside with me forever in heaven. Wow. Now that's love, folks. You may think you love, but you don't love like God loves. And there may be someone here that you have never received God's love. You have never asked him to forgive you. You've never admitted to him you needed forgiving. But you know it's God's will. It's God's will that you would. But you know what's interesting? You realize that God's will is not always done. Have you ever sinned? Yeah. Well, do you realize that God didn't want you to sin? It wasn't his will that you would sin. Yet you chose to sin and you did. Now, his ultimate will is always done. The Bible's going to end up just like it says. There's no doubt on that. But, you know, in our life, we make many decisions. Some of them are in God's will, some of them aren't. And it determines a lot of things that go on in our life. And that's what we're talking about here. Do you want a really rough road? Or would you like a little bit smoother one? Do you want to live your life in conflict with the God of the universe or with him? That's really what it's talking about. There may be someone here that you have never made the first step. You can't do the rest of His will because you have to do the initial one. And that is simply to say, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. Will you forgive me, Lord? I'm trusting in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross to pay the price for my sin. And you rose Jesus from the dead, Lord, in victory over sin and death. And based on that fact, I believe. And you know what? If you do that and you ask God to forgive you, He will. And He'll adopt you into His family. You'll be a son or daughter of God for eternity. What a promise. For the rest of us, wow, are we procrastinating? Are there things in our life that we know God wants us to do and we're not doing them for whatever reason? You can have fear, or maybe you just feel inadequate, or you know, whatever it may be. But you know it. God has put it on your heart. You know what I'm talking about because God's already revealed it to you. Are you willing to act on that? Maybe you've been praying about something that, hey, you just realize, well, God already spoke about it on His Word. I just need to be obedient. I'm done praying. You know, there's a time for prayer, then there's a time for action. Maybe it's just time for you to act. Maybe there's someone like that here today. I already know what God wants me. I just need to act now. I just need to put action to it. Or maybe there's some that, you know what, maybe when I hear the Word of God, I don't really listen. I'm not listening with the, like, okay, I am actually going to do this. And God has pricked your mind and you're like, wow, I need to start acting on what I know. I need to start acting on what God has revealed to me. I don't know where you're at, but these are all things we all need to deal with from time to time in our lives. If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here today? Anybody would say, Brother Mike, I have never taken that first step to being in God's will, which is simply to place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to trust Him as my Savior. I know that's God's will for me, but I've never done it. I need to take that first step. Is there anybody like that? Anybody like that? I want to pray for you. You can slip your hand up. For the rest of us, anybody here would say, Brother Mike, there's some things I already know is God's will, and I've been procrastinating. I've been kind of putting it off. Anybody like that? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for just being honest. God knows your heart. It's just submission when you raise your hand. That's all it is, and God is pleased with that. I hope you pray that God give you the courage to not put it off any longer. For some of us, we have some issues with pride in our life, or we just kind of have our ideas and we've been kind of operating that way instead of in God's ways. Anybody like that? Got some pride in my life. God bless you. God bless you. A lot of hands. How many would say, I just need to listen better? I've been hearing, but I've not been listening. I've not been hearing with the intent to obey. Anybody like that? I hear things and then I kind of let it go. I don't really intend to obey. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I lift up all of us, Lord. We all battle things in our lives. We're pulled so many directions by the world, by Satan, by our own flesh, Lord, away from You. Lord God, help us. Help us, Lord. Where we're prideful, show us humility, Lord. When we're putting things off, Lord, give us a spirit of urgency. A spirit of urgency, Lord, that when You've laid something on our heart, we need to do it. Lord God, help us to listen better to You with the will, our will bent towards You, that when we hear we will obey. Lord, help us. Help us to recognize these things. And Holy Spirit, please work in our hearts that we would respond to these urges You've given us in a way that would please the Father. And I ask this in Jesus' name. amen. This is your time as the piano plays. You, if God has put something on your heart regarding your walk, whatever it may be, that you have been, you've been talked to during this sermon by God, this is the time for you to deal with God. If you need prayer, you come up here, I'll pray with you. If you just want to pray where you're at, you do so. But you do business with God. This is your time. Father, Lord God, we come before you acknowledging that you are God. Help us, Lord, to know and understand you in a greater way in our lives, Lord, that we would be the servants of God, that we would do your will, Lord, that we would not be foolish, but we would be wise, and that the houses we are building would be your houses on rock, Lord, and not on the sand, that you would be glorified, that your kingdom would grow, Lord, that lives would change, that we would reflect Jesus in a greater way to a lost and dying world. And we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.